Wars is a cycle of hatred. Alliances forged and broken. We have paid the price for sharing this world. And we have forgotten what makes us strong.
Close ranks! Advance has won! Mordoron will be ours!
My king, we have her cornered.
Everybody, to the Ladies of Leet. This is episode 146, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I'm Kim.
I am Stephanie.
And see, we made it back.
Yay!
For those of you that are like, what is going on? Like, we had an unannounced summer break because it was almost impossible for all three of us. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to be out of town this week, and I'm going to be out of town that week. I'm like, yeah, right. let's just do our summer break. And then we were planning on coming back in August, and unfortunately, for those of you that follow us on Twitter, I announced my dad had cancer for 5 years, and then it came back, and he passed away. So this episode is dedicated to him because it is because of him I got into gaming.
That's awesome.
I remember the day he brought home an Atari 2600 and so started my love of all things game. And he would
play. That is such an awesome memory. That is so great.
And I have lots of Nintendo classic memories with him. He was very competitive, and so when I started beating him and like getting further in games, so like getting further in Super Mario, when we played Gunsmoke, oh man, he got really upset when I beat that game because he could not beat that game.
No, I see your family being competitive
competitive. So in fact. I was very lucky to be there. He passed on a Friday, and unfortunately, I had to leave on a Wednesday. But before I was able to play, you know, that game Solterica. I played a little bit. I showed him the game, and we were playing it together. So,
oh, nice.
It was a special moment. So,
yeah.
And he kept on talking about a game called Aggravation. And I didn't know what it's a board game. It's a big, it's a board with marbles, and he didn't have all of it there. So, and he was getting really, I could tell he was getting frustrated because I was like, I don't know what aggravation is. Are you actually trying to aggravate me? What's going on? Like I couldn't. And so I was talking to my brother. He goes, no, it's a real game. He goes, he used to make the boards for family members, and he had all these marbles. So now one of my games I want to figure out how to play or learn how to play is Aggravation.
Nice. Yeah, that it's that one that's like kind of got like a star type pattern.
Yeah,
on it, or something.
You know, it reminds me of like Chinese checkers or something like that, right?
Yeah, where exactly. It's like the marbles. Exactly. It's just in a bigger configuration. And yeah, I remember my aunt had that game. That's awesome that he was remembering that.
Oh yeah, and he wanted to play. He was like, "Let's play," and I'm like, "Dad, you don't have like he only had like a handful of marbles and some old dirty dice," and I felt horrible. And I actually had ordered the game in hopes to play it with him, but we never got a chance.
Nice.
But anyway, so thanks for hanging out and sticking with us. We have a lot to talk about, so a lot of things happened from the last time we talked. Was what, July? I was going to say June, but I think it was July. So World of Warcraft, the expansion, came out. We're all three of us are, I'm attempting to play it. I'm we'll talk about it here soon. State of Decay 2. Ooh, We Happy Few. Yay, Stephanie's going to talk about We Happy Few. I want to play that game so bad. Frostpunk, Two Point Hospital, and Escape from Tarkova. What is it?
Tarkov.
Tarkov. Hey, I just added a few vowels to it. It's okay. I think we should discuss World of Warcraft's new expansion, The Battle for Azeroth. I'll just say that I'm not very far. I chose to keep my Horde character, though I'm out of our guild. I'm just kind of like free floating around because it's been so long since I've been in.
All of my toons got kicked out, but thank goodness
it's super easy to get back in. Yeah. You don't have to reapply.
I know.
Max, super easy.
Let me back in. Thank you, Max.
So I kept, Mark decided to move his Horde toon back over to the Alliance. So Soulfree used to be on the Horde side. Yeah. So now I'm on Horde side and Mark's on the Alliance side. So I'm trying to decide how I can get a tune to 110 on the Alliance side without moving one of my characters. So I have a token.
That's what we did.
I have a token though. I have a 110 token.
Oh, well, then use it, yeah.
But it says, like, I can try out a new character at 110. What does that mean?
You can start a new character at 20.
Okay.
Play, like, the first 20 levels, and they'll let you do that for free. But they won't give you, like, a free 110.
The 110 is a boost.
You've got your boost, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you the have boost. Your boost. Yeah, and so I want to...
Yeah, that's not a trial. That's a permanent boost, like...
I could have, I swear I was on the Alliance side and it said boost one of your characters or try out a new class at 110.
Yeah, you can. So when you have that 110 boost, you either pick one of your characters you have or create a brand new one.
Exactly. See, I think it was the try word that I'm like, no, I don't want to try it out. I just want to do it.
Yeah, it's not a trial.
I want a new paladin because I just want to. I want to play paladin on both sides. I don't want. I have monks. I have priests. I just want to play my paladin. I love my paladin. I've always loved my paladin. I just want to play paladin, horde, and alliance, and I want to see both sides because it's different, right? I hear it's like way different on both sides.
So. I've been wanting to try the alliance side.
I have no desire to try the alliance side.
It matters, Stephanie. It matters.
Honestly, the very first character I ever rolled on WoW was a human mage. I got bored by level 6 and deleted the character and never went back to Alliance. I was like, okay, I'm done. I have never had an Alliance character since then. Never.
How did you get bored? I mean, honestly, because it's pretty much the same. You know, it's not like it's much different. I mean,
I think I didn't want to spend the whole game playing people that looked like me.
It seemed
incredibly boring. Like, if I'm in this immense fantasy world, why do I want to stick with people that look exactly like me?
Yeah.
So I just went back to, and I picked the Horde. Then you have the orcs and the trolls and the tauren. You know, and then the pretty race, the blood elves, came later.
Yeah.
But those original races were so unique looking. I like
that's true. That's true. I can see that.
Yeah. I apparently like boring because when I first started WoW, I was a human paladin who looked exactly. Right? I gave her blonde hair. I said me in World of Warcraft. Boom. Oh,
not me. Mine was a little pink haired gnome.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she was a warlock, and I had no idea what a warlock even was. And,
you are the same as Mark. Mark did a gnome warlock.
Did he? Oh, yeah.
Hated them.
It didn't last long.
punt those gnomes.
Exactly, punt them.
So, how far are you guys? What levels are you now?
So, each of us has a 120. Mm-hmm. I have a 118, and then two 112s, and then another 111.
That's right. I forget. You're like, bring your own WoW to the table.
Bring your own raid. Whole extended family.
Oh, I do. Yeah, they're my workers.
I totally forgot.
Like, what do we need? I need an alchemist. Okay, then I gotta bring that one in. Oh, yeah, I need a leather worker. Okay. Oh, jewelry maker. Gotta have that one. Yeah, so. Yeah. It's my farm.
Exactly, and that's what most of your tunes are for, right? It's for professionals. Oh, yeah.
But yeah. The odd thing is, once I start playing them, I'm like, oh, I really like this class. Why don't I play it more often? And that's exactly what happens, and I tend to want to keep playing it.
So who's your favorite tune?
The first one I got to 120 is my shaman, and I feel very comfortable playing that. But right now I'm having so much fun with my disc priest.
Okay.
That's the one I just made. Her name is Morally Gray. Wink, wink. That was. I had to take that name because that's what they said Sylvanas was. Oh, Morally Gray.
Yes.
Please. She's snidely Whiplash at this point.
Yeah.
And then on the Alliance side, you have Dudley Do-Right. Oh. That's what I'm going to call this expansion right now. It's Dudley Do-Right versus Snidely Whiplash.
Oh, that's funny.
Because Sylvanas has gone a little batshit.
She is absolutely batshit.
She has gone like beyond a little bit. But so I guess I'm really enjoying this Disc Priest too. I never thought I would enjoy a Disc Priest at all. But
don't me either.
I have not died once.
I'm taking on everything.
And it's not taken forever to kill everything. You know, it's not as fast as some, but I'm like, this chick rocks. And it's a blast to do as well. So, yeah, really. And so this is the one that I boosted. I have a mage at 120. I have my hunter that I'm playing with. You know, our group with Over the Hill Gang, we're like, okay, we've got one tune, but I'm not enjoying my hunter at all. Mm. I don't know why, but it's not doing much.
Oh, that's funny, because that's what I always think of you. I think of you as the hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've kind of given up on my hunter right now.
Stephanie always think of you as a shaman.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a paladin.
Yeah. But I did bring my druid over to be a tank, but we already had a tank, so she's kind of like on the back burner. And then I have my warlock, who I always took out on world quests, because again, that's another one that just never dies. Like, you can sit there and just plink away, and you won't die because, you know, your demon pet takes all the damage. But that disc priest was such a surprise.
She burns them down fast, doesn't she?
The disc priest? No.
Oh, I thought, when I played a disc priest, I was like, whoa, I just kill everything! Maybe
she
it's
does
changed,
kill but... everything. The Shadow Priest was more DPS, but the Disc Priest is. I did a not safe for work explanation of what I think a Disc Priest is last night in our group. I can't say those words, but she will damage and heal the group at the same time.
Right.
So we ran a
that's
we
what
ran
my
a
paladin
dungeon,
is too. My holy paladin is the same way.
And our healer was third in damage.
That's awesome.
That's stunning. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, yeah. So
at some point she was on top.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Yeah, this one doesn't kill fast, but damn, this it does not die either at all. I mean, it is, and honestly, I barely ever even lose health.
Exactly.
I don't think I've gone, just
a little bit of damage, just bubble yourself and you'll get healed right back.
Right?
Up.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
And I like my mage too. The mage has been a lot of fun. It's and it can kill anything very quickly as long as it's one at a time. I can't do it with my mage.
And
I
you're doing fire, right? You're doing fire on your mage?
I'm doing fire, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, but yeah, it has to be one at a time, no groups, but I can get it down, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
The disc priest, I can pull a big group, and
it takes
me forever, but
you just dot them up and then take your time and just rotate it out.
That's how I would not. So right now, so I chose to go into like what are the zones? There's three zones. Are there three zones that you can go to?
Yes.
So I follow the one woman. She's like, she has a Jamaican
name. She's the priestess.
Yes.
Solange.
Does everybody go down that path? Or is
okay. Takes your pick. You'll get to all of them. You have to do all of them eventually. So it doesn't matter which
one. So that's where I am right now. And it's like, go kill seven of this. I'm like, so I just tag them all. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
Exactly.
Concentration. Yeah, and I'm just like.
Her story is the blood trolls.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. I like that one. It's very creepy, obviously. Yeah. But it's a good story.
Yeah.
But they go really quick too. I mean, so I just boosted my priest this morning.
Yes.
And I slept until like 10:30. So it was like at about 11 I boosted it. It's 3:10 now, and I'm already through one zone and I've leveled to 111.
Ah,
that's how fast this game is going. Oh, it's crazy that I zoomed to 120. It didn't even feel like I suffered at all.
Now, I mean,
to
be
fair, that's all rested XP.
No, that's true, but it's still quick. I mean, this I think is much quicker than any other expansion that we've done.
I agree.
I'm assuming there's probably already been world first and all of that. Probably the night
it
of
was the very first day.
Yeah,
120 the first day.
That's bananas to me.
I know.
So for me, I mean, I'm going through this and I'm just kind of chugging along. And I will say I do feel bored in the game.
Oh,
I know. But I mean, yeah. But isn't there like phasing and all that stuff?
Not very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
This feels more like a vanilla or even what was the next expansion? Outlands?
Burning Crusade.
I mean, that's what it feels like to me. It feels more it doesn't have all those funny tricks that the other ones have done and all the razzmatazz and everything. This is just pretty much killing, collecting, but in a little funner way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to stick with it, of course.
When I hit 120, I got bored. I'm like, oh, now what am I going to do? That's why I was like, okay.
Well, world quests. Okay, now let's do world quests.
Let's level another one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it or not. I feel the draw, like especially when Red Dead 2 comes out, I'm going to drop WoW like that.
Again, it takes all of my gaming time because I don't have a ton of gaming time between work and just life. And it's taken a lot of my gaming time. So, when something else comes out, like I want to play this other game Steph is playing, but
the We Happy Few game?
Time to play too.
The We Happy Few game?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have anything else to say about WoW? I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the future.
We'll be talking about WoW.
There's nothing special right now. It's just WoW.
Right. I will ask, what is the deal with Sylvanas? You were saying that she's mad. Why is she so mad?
Right.
Like, I miss all the lore. I don't keep up with any of that stuff. I collect hides and kill
things. There is a book out you can read. It's Before the Storm. And then they also released like a little PDF that they put out on the splash screen, on the Blizzard splash screen, to try and again give more meat behind her decision. And it still just made no sense to me. It made no sense. So her deal was, okay, here we have the end of Legion, right?
Right.
We have all banded together. We have all successfully defeated this common enemy. Whoo!
That
was great, right? No. Sylvanas is like, okay, now's the time where we're going to strike. we're going to make a preemptive strike and attack the what she perceived as the weak point in the Alliance, which is the only major city they have on the continent of Kalimdor, which is where Orgrimmar is, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be where the elves are, the Night Elves. So she's like, we're going to go attack them, and we're going to take over that city. And honestly, this is what she says. She says, and by taking over that city, we will guarantee 1,000 years of peace. I was like, you are smoking some serious crack if you think that taking over that city and killing those leaders will stop the Alliance from making an assault against it. That's just stupid.
Like, why can't she just, like, bask in the victory of working together?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, that meant nothing to her. Seriously, it means nothing. Gosh. She has, if you remember, even during Legion, she was working her own agenda outside of being the leader of the Horde.
Okay.
She has always been focused on raising more Forsaken and ensuring more of them get created, right? So she's got this whole deal with the Valkyries that if she dies, like, a Valkyrie takes her place, and there's some kind of weird prophecy about her dying 3 times, but I think she's already died 3 times and like, come back every time because a Valkyrie has to get sacrificed. And then Gen, you know, the werewolf leader, he spoiled her plan in Legion. He destroyed the lantern beacon that would make her have control over even more Valkyries. So she's in the little story they had for you to read. She talks about her plan to have that battle at Undercity, and how she said the Horde will forgive me, because I will just raise the dead from the battlefield and use them for us. And I'm like, you think that's cool? That's not cool.
No.
Right?
You're a little crazy, lady.
Yeah. I just remember going through that.
Of the Forsaken, but she's not acting like the leader of the Horde.
Right.
Of the 5 other races that she has to be responsible for, she doesn't care. She really doesn't
care.
And
especially the Torn's like, yo, this is not cool.
This is not cool.
Oh, yeah. Because I was like...
But did you also see their faces in the cutscenes? Mm-hmm. They were just looking crazy.
Yeah, they're all crazy. I mean... Jada hates us now. Jada wants to wipe the Horde off this entire planet.
She's mad, man.
She hates us. And all the time I'm sitting there thinking, where's Thrall? Thrall used to be able to cool her down and, like, make her see reason. And where's he been? I don't even know. Making more kids? Who knows? I don't know.
You know why she's pissed off? Because Thrall's off with, you know, his girl. He's like, yo, yeah. I wanted to be your girl.
That's right. She totally missed her opportunity.
She did.
Yeah, that big green guy.
So yeah.
Her whole plan was, we're going to take over the city and we're going to kill the Alliance leaders of the elf town. And her plan was not to destroy the tree, but she did it on a whim anyway. And, you know, now here we are. It's just a nightmare.
Mm. Yeah.
But you know what? Now that we're, like, out on this part of the island, I'm like, what does this have to do with what we were doing before? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't fit together at all.
So the weak link that she gives... Remember we did the whole breaking the person out of Stormwind?
Yeah.
Is the fact that at the end of the Legion story, our navy was decimated. We have no good ships anymore. So that was the whole point of making friends with Zandalari, was they have a massive fleet. So if we come and make friends with them, they will give us their ships. So we can fight the Alliance more.
Gotcha.
So let's go destroy everything and then go ask these people to be our friends and get their ships instead of doing it the smart way. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I'm just waiting for they've already given major hints, but there's got to be an old god coming back. There has got to be. They're going to drop this shoe that said, oh, it was an old god all along pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever.
I didn't feel like myself.
You know it's coming.
See, I'm watching Castle Rock right now, so it's very plausible.
Oh, old god, just, right?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It's the town. It's the world. It's the world. It's the world of Warcraft. All right. So I got to know about We Happy Few, because that one, speaking of, like, Stephen King and weird, that game just looks so weird, and I love it. It just the tone of it, and the fact that they want everyone to be happy.
Yes.
No matter what, basically.
Yes. You are happy or else.
Or happy or else.
So did you finish it?
Okay. No, I'm still playing it.
Okay.
So you actually play as three characters, and I'm kind of finishing up the first character before I move on to the second character. So I'm playing this on the PS4, and the storyline is an alternate 1960s, British 1960s. It's actually 1964 in the game, and you are on a British island. So not on the mainland, but on this island. And you are playing, the first person that you play is Arthur Hastings, and he is in charge of censoring the news. So that's your very first clue that something's wrong here. He has to filter out any news that's bad, because people only want to read nice things. Mm. And then someone comes into your office and tells you, hey, you have been taking your joy. That's the pill's name, joy. And you have the choice. You either take the joy and forget, your past, or just start to remember it. So obviously, if you take your joy, the game ends and you start over. That is ridiculous.
But, you know, there's probably an achievement for that,
right? So what prompts you to not take your joy is you come across a newspaper article about your brother Percy, who is missing since the war, and you start to discover this very bad thing that these people did. And they, to block out this very bad thing that they did, they start taking joy. Mm. Because the side effect of joy is memory loss.
Amnesia. Okay.
Not amnesia so much as that you just forget the bad things that you did. You forget the unpleasant things.
But what about the good thing? Everything. I was going to say, do you forget the good stuff too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually a side effect, too, in the game for your character. If you do take joy, and there are certain instances where you can't avoid it, there's like a meter that goes up, and once you hit 100, you'll start having memory loss too. I'm at 86%, so I'm trying really hard not to lose any memories.
Does it ever go down?
No,
or is it just a cumulative?
It's cumulative. Yes. So once you're found out, anyone who is not taking joy is kicked out of the major town into the squalor, broken down ruins outside of the city. You're just kicked out. No one wants to see you. You don't have a job. And I will tell you, this is a running theme throughout the whole story, is these people are starving.
Aww.
Starving to death. They're running like these news stories about how to eat weeds, how to boil nettles to make soup. I had a horrible side story where the butcher, yeah, it was people.
Oh, God.
I had a choice between not doing it, and I did it. Oh. Yeah, it's people.
Well, of course you're going to do it.
Of course yeah. I did. He has all these machines set up to, like,
little Sweeney Todd action going on there.
Process bodies. Oh, my God. It was gross. So yeah, these people... And the other side story is some people who are legitimately taking joy get what they call a bad batch of joy, which kind of flips some kind of switch chemically in their brain, and they can't take it anymore. They're kicked out, too.
So because they just want everyone to be happy.
Be happy. You have to be on the joy. So the people that are kicked out aren't necessarily there because they want to be. It just happens that they can't take joy anymore, so they're stuck there. You have to switch clothes when you go back and forth between these two zones. If you're with the outcasts, you have to wear crappy clothes. You have to wear a torn suit because you can't look nice. Mm-hmm. They'll attack you on sight.
Okay.
Once you go to the nice part of town, you can't wear cruddy clothes. You have to wear nice clothes or they will attack you on sight. I will tell you, the AI, not that good. Honestly, it's not that good.
That stinks.
If people start attacking you all you have to do is essentially just turn a corner. And they just forget, and they can't find you. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Okay. You have the option when you're playing to be nonviolent or violent. Of course, I am being nonviolent. There is an achievement for not killing anyone, and I'm fairly close to that. So
of course you are. Of course you are.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
What's the achievement for killing everyone, even the good people? That's mine. Yes. It's like, yes.
I mean, I watch streamers play this, and they just take the shovel to everyone. There's a beating people upside the head with a shovel, like, nonstop. Piles of bodies everywhere. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but it's certainly an option.
So do you like the game? Is it, I mean, it sounds like it's a story compelling type of game.
Yes. There's a lot of crafting. There's a lot of, they give you dig spots where you can dig up kind of, little stashes that like some little goodies for yourself. There are what they call hatches in each of the major city sections. Mm-hmm. So you can, fast travel between them very quickly. So you don't have to run everywhere, but you will run a lot. And there are little side missions that give you skill points. And they tell you that right next to the mission. They'll tell you, if you finish this mission, you get 5 skill points. And the skill points allow you to be more stealthy, to not have the police be after you. There is a curfew, so you definitely want to get those points in so that they don't come after you at night. Because if you're out after night, everyone will come after you.
Oh, interesting.
unless you have that skill point that says they don't care.
So what's the end goal of the game?
So the end goal is, I won't try and spoil it too much, but okay. Arthur has a very bad memory about Percy, specifically something he did that caused Percy to disappear.
Okay.
So and he could have just taken Joy, like he has done since Percy disappeared during the war. So this would have been like 15 years ago, or 20 years ago. And Arthur has been taking Joy ever since then to forget what he did. So now he has chosen to stop taking Joy, to remember what he did, and to find Percy.
But
in order to find him, he has to get out of the city. He has to get out. And of course, they have it all locked down. So he's making his way to the edge of the city, to find his brother.
Gotcha.
That's Arthur's story. Of course, there's more people that I haven't gotten to.
See, that's what I want to get in. My problem with WoW is I don't really follow the lore. I don't really follow the story. I just kind of, I'm like a zombie collecting and clicking stuff. Yeah, I'm here for the loot. but with like Fallout and BioShock and even Borderlands, these are games that compel me with the story. Like, mm-hmm. The gameplay can actually be not so great if the story is compelling enough.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
So, this sounds like a game right up my alley. So.
Oh, yeah. Once you start playing, you really get sucked in and you just want to keep playing. Because, obviously, visually, it strikes such a BioShock trigger response for me. I feel like I'm back there, all this bright pink neon, this idea that you're trapped somewhere and you need to get out, but there's people controlling literally every aspect of your life. Obviously it's a big
thing. I might be playing that. So our friend, James, who was part of the vampire game, gave me a copy of it, and I have to play that too, but my kids are always around it like, Mommy, what's that? I'm like, nothing. Keep like, I can't. So it's really hard for me to play games like Fallout 4, and you know, games that just have like a blood. So
well, and James gave me that game too, and I was I started to play it, but it was right after playing the Far Cry.
Oh,
and yeah. Right after playing God of War. Mm. And those two games are so beautiful and so good that I was like, okay, I'm going to have a tainted view of this game. So I want to wait to play it because I don't want it to you know, I don't want my opinion to be based off of comparing it to other one games. Of these other yeah. amazing games.
I started right. it up and I was like, ooh, this looks kind of cool. Right. But like I said, my son was like, what's a vampire? What's yeah. it doing? And I'm like, oh, geez. So instead, I installed Fortnite on my phone because.
Oh, no.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. My kid is really into Minecraft right now.
Oh, okay.
And my husband, Mark, is playing Minecraft with him. So Mateo will build, like, he built a little training center for them, and he builds like all these things. And Mark's like, "You built all this?" And he is like hammering me, "Mommy, I want to play Fortnite with you. Mommy, I want to play Fortnite with you." I'm like, "I have to play it first because you're not going to school me." Okay. And I also have to be careful because I know there is a very addictive quality to Fortnite for kids.
Right.
And there is, speaking of like blood in games, I mean, it's a cartoony game. There's no blood, but you're shooting other people. And, right. you know, I know Mateo can handle it. He's actually a very mature. He's going to be 7. Mm-hmm. But I still kind of want to let him focus on Minecraft and building. He loves Legos and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I still want to know more about the game. So I just know as soon as I start playing, it's going to piss me off because I'm so competitive, and it's going to be like, especially in those like 100-person brawls. I'm just like, somebody kill me.
And that's one thing. I really like Fortnite, and the building part of it and the traps and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It can be addictive quickly, but it is also, you've got, you know, 13-year-old kids in there who will just whoop your butt big time.
Yeah.
Well, and the way I look at it is I have to go where my son's interests are. And thankfully my son's interests are video games. Something that I enjoy too, because most moms are like, oh, they play video games, and like I'm happy that he likes that stuff. We have to find a balance for him though, because if
sure
he would do nothing but, again, my son, totally me. I see so much of me in him that I'm just like, oh. And if I let him play, if I just let him play, he will all day, all night. Yes. He won't eat. He won't do anything. He'll get a headache. Mommy, why do I have a headache? You've been playing video games all day. What do you think? So these are learning, teaching moments that are happening. But it's, you know, I want to make sure that I find games that we can play together, and as he gets older and stuff like that, because those are the bonding times where I'll be sitting there just watching him play, and he'll just come out with something about so and so, blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh really? Like, oh my god, he's talking to me! Yay! Like, you know, if you have kids, and it's like you're trying to pull things out of them, what's happening to them during the day, and it's like, oh, it's like just pulling teeth. It's like, please just talk to me. But it's when I find I just sit with him. And that's what my mom used to do. She would, because we lived out in the middle of nowhere, she would like say, hey, do you want to go to the mall? Well, guess what? I was in a car with her for over an hour to get to the mall. And I would just open up and we would talk. And that's
right.
So those are the things that, you know, as he gets older, I'm hoping. So that's why I'm like, I need to learn Fortnite.
Right, too. And the dance.
Yeah. Yes, the dancing. Dance. Yes.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, Kim, it's funny.
It's amazing that kids that small, like, know about Fortnite. And I know, my granddaughter's 4 years old, and, you know, she watches YouTube Kids, but it still has a ton of stuff on there that I'm like, how do you know this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just amazing that you even know about it.
Yeah.
So,
My cousin came out over the summer and brought his kids. He has a 12-year-old. And of course, the 12-year-old is just too cool for anything.
Oh, actually.
Whatever. So... So Mateo wanted to play video games with him. So I found, I had this game called Portal Knights on the PS4 that I let them play together. Well, I come back and this kid is playing Detroit in front of Mateo. And I'm like, what the hell do you think you're doing? What? I didn't know. I'm like, there's a big M on this game for mature. Are you mature? I don't think so.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, it was so uncool. And he went through all of my games and he was like, I'm like, dude, don't touch my games.
Right. We're gonna have problems. I'm like, want to have problems.
This is my system. I'm letting you borrow for like a period of time here. Right. But it was just a weird. It was such a weird experience to deal with a almost teenager and my son like wanting to like play with him, and he's like wanting to play Destiny 2, and he's wanting to play all these more mature games, and I'm like, Mateo's just not ready. Can you just let my kid be a kid, small kid, for a little bit longer? Like,
well, I remember when my kids were like, hey, Mom, can we get GTA? And I was like, sure. And then I went to get it, and I was like, oh, this is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I did not know. I don't know. Yeah. And they were small. This was like a long time ago. They were small. And I'm like, no, you can't have that. They're like, come on.
Oh,
but then they go down to the neighbor's house and they have it.
Yes.
So you can't win sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I hope that I can instill in Mateo. And this is the same problem that I have with him watching streamers. Because what's happening is I have a handful of streamers I adore, but he will find other streamers, and there's one in particular that he's like, and he's like, and noises. And now my son feels like he has to entertain us when he games.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, Mateo, it's okay. You don't have to keep talking and yelling while you're playing your game. It's okay. You can actually just sit there and play your game. But he's watching these streamers that are so over the top and just annoying. That
is Omar.
And, you know, I think I've given him a plug on the show before, but Zebra Gamer and Brick Show Brian, those are my two favorite on Amazon Prime. And I'm like, you can watch those as much as you want. But some of the other ones, I just want to be like, I want to write them and say, could you just tone it down or change your rating so my parenting restrictions can restrict your videos?
Right.
But even if, I mean, some of those are just, they're just annoying.
Yes.
So you can't, you can't like filter on annoying.
No, you can't.
Which yeah, really, A for annoying.
That would be good. Yeah,
such a weird world now that
it is.
That we have. Like,
you know, growing up, my parents were always, you know, you're never going to make a living playing video games. Really? In my lifetime, that has been proven false.
Yeah, that's all right. So we're old fogies here. let's talk about our state of decay.
Yeah, huh?
Like, I can't even stream this on Twitch. I'm like, we'll just record and put it out in the feed. There's going to be a day where it's like, what's a podcast? What's a feed?
Oh my God.
So, Stephanie, you gave both of us State of Decay 2. I tried to install it, and it just wouldn't install. But I think I know what's wrong.
Okay.
I think I ran out of space.
Oh.
And it wouldn't tell me. Like, okay. So I didn't realize I ran out of space until I tried to, like, update WoW and was like, does not.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to try downloading State of Decay 2 again.
Good.
But it was weird because I'm like, why is this not working?
Right.
So, well, but Kim. What's that?
I said it doesn't go through Steam. It goes through the stupid Microsoft store.
Yes. And
that just makes it that much worse. It's just horrible.
Yeah. They, yeah.
I really wish they wouldn't.
It was
well, Microsoft owns it.
I had to actually go. I had to upgrade my computer to 10, which I did not want
to do. Oh, maybe that's what I need to do.
Fine, I'll upgrade my computer to Windows 10 because otherwise it wasn't going to take.
I wonder if that's what it is.
It's not like
What were you? What were you on before Windows? What? Seven. I think that's what I'm on now.
You only you have less than 2 years of support before Microsoft pulls the plug on 7.
I don't want to. Well, I don't know.
And I was just used to it. It's not like I had to have it, but I was just used to it. And I'm like, I don't want to go. And, I mean, you know, my computer's getting kind of old.
Super Kim, horrible now.
Do you still have contacts at Doghouse? speaking of Doghouse, I'm part of a Facebook group. It's a lady gamer Facebook group, and it's honestly one of my favorite groups on there. Nice. I'll find the exact name of it. Stephanie, you're not on Facebook, so
at all, no. Yeah.
But no, Kim, you could join it. It's what is it? Leet. Yeah, it's called Leet Lady Gamers.
Nice.
It's and it's a group. So I love this group. Really, and it's only women, lots of women. And they do memes, but just today someone posted it's a tweet, and it says there's an 81-year-old woman on YouTube who uploads her videos of herself playing Skyrim. She opens up all of her videos with "Hello, grandkids." And her name is Shirley Currie. So Currie. And she's like 300,000 subscribers. And I started watching one of her videos and I love her. And I just think it's so awesome that she makes these videos. Do you think she started making them for her grandkids?
I think she just did it just to see if she could do it. To see if she could do it.
That's awesome.
And then it became more people wanted to watch her do it.
I love it.
She's been around for a while. I remember hearing about her.
She just went to PAX.
She's gotten really popular.
Yeah, she's her latest video. I just returned from PAX, and I should tell you that this video is sponsored by Doghouse. And I'm just like, this is awesome.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Oh, so if you use the code Granny, you get I don't know, but I just loved it. So I love this group, Leet Lady Gamers. And then of course, this Shirley Currie is, I've subscribed to her, so I'm going to watch some Skyrim videos.
Nice.
But you guys are
I can't believe how old that game is now.
I know, right?
I still love it. Oh my God. It's ridiculous that I still love that game so much.
I wish it didn't look like butt in VR. Oh God, it looks so bad.
It looks so bad.
It's so bad. Like to the point where I'm like, I don't think I could play this.
Like I get embarrassed.
Yeah.
I got it for Christmas for my Switch.
Yeah.
So of course I loaded it up and I was like, I kind of winced when the graphics came up. I'm like,
Yeah,
all my mods that I have on my PC to make it look good. Yeah. Woo. Oh man!
Well, yeah, and that's like Fallout, like Vegas and 3. It's just
a little painful.
Oh, those are bad.
Well, speaking of Fallout, you got all of your achievements, Kim, in Fallout 4.
I am so happy, and most of them were not that hard to do. It was pretty easy, but there are two that are crazy hard. So the first one, actually, Benevolent Leader, is the really hard one for the core game. And what you have to do is you have to raise your settlement's happiness to 100, which doesn't sound that hard. Just one settlement. But it's hard to do. It is way harder than you think it is because you've got to have this super balance of everything.
Yeah.
And you've got to have things out there that make them happy. But you've got to have enough food all the time and people, mm-hmm. you know. So basically what you have to do is you have to cut off a settlement. I did the red, the gas station right outside
of
the Red Rocket. Yeah. Cut off everyone, put one settler there, put a first aid station there, and then put a bunch of food in your, make sure you have a lot of food in your workbench.
Okay.
And then keep putting food in your workbench because they've got to have enough food. And then you've got to actually stay there. You can't leave and come back. You have to like go to sleep there for a while and wait there for a while.
Oh, okay.
You have to like literally for like 3 days. I sat there and babysat the stupid thing. And I, you can't leave because then that like sets the timer.
Oh,
it's horrible. But I got it, and that was my last one I had to get. So I got the platinum trophy for that. So then I was like, okay, let's go do Nuka World.
Right.
And most of them in Nuka World are really easy, except for Eyes on the Prize. And you have to get, I don't know, 100,000 tickets or 1,000. It's more than 1,000. It's maybe 100,000 tickets.
In that arcade, right?
In the arcade.
So I read somebody talking about that and how they glitched it.
Yeah.
With the, I think it was a basketball.
Yep, the basketball. So I tried that, and I can do the trick with the basketball hoop where you go up there and you just move your mouse up and down, and or the cursor up and down, and so I'll get like 100 tickets or something each time. But then what they do is they take three basketball courts and build them together so the rims are all one on top of each other. Then you have to like start them right away. And then, so now you're getting 300 tickets versus 100 tickets.
Oh, interesting.
But that one's really hard to do. That one is super hard to do. So,
somebody talked about making the basketball rims super low. So that all you had to do was squat up and down, like just crouch up and down.
That's what I'm doing, basically. I'm just squatting up and down.
Oh, that's funny.
You just go and stand up on it, and that's all you got to do. But it does take a long time. And then there's other tricks like the ones that you have to shoot. You can use grenades and things like that, and you get more. But it takes a very, 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 very long time. And I'm like,
you're tenacious.
Yeah, I don't really want to waste my time doing this.
Well,
I was
got
like,
it.
This is too much. This is too much. But I was really happy with my achievements in the main game. So,
So you mentioned Far Cry 5. Have either of you gone back and played any of the DLC?
No.
So
I want to.
The Vietnam War DLC is out. Mark is playing that. I still need to get my copy back from Brian Ibbett.
My copy too. So that's why that's why I have my son have my copy.
I want them to address like what happens after. Like, is there going to be like a Far Cry 5.0 or 5.1? Like, how are you going to? Because usually these games are kind of standalone, right? They kind of happen in its own little world.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. So I'm like, you just can't leave it there. I guess they can do that, but I don't want them to do that.
Right.
So come on, guys. Finish that
if
story.
There's a DLC, it opens with my character standing over the dead body of the father.
Yeah.
Because I will kill him.
He's
We're
done.
The only two people in that room. I'm sorry. Your time's up, buddy.
So, Stephanie,
don't close your eyes.
You have three games here that I've never heard of. So are these, what are these? Are these PC or PS4 games?
They are all PC games.
Okay.
So the first one, Frostpunk, is a survival game, and it's brought to you by the heartwarming and uplifting ponies and bunnies and everything, lovely people of This War of Mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much you're guaranteed, holy crap, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And what are all these horrible choices?
Yeah.
So this is supposed to be a base building survival game. And I thought, oh, okay, cool. That's like State of Decay. I like that. So the premise of the story is it is sometime in the near future, and a mysterious cold snap has literally frozen all of the world, and you're roughly outside of London, and you're leading this ragtag group of survivors looking for warmth because there's snow everywhere.
Sounds like Snowpiercer.
You come across this abandoned heating tower. It's like a huge, massive tower, but it's a heater in this valley. And so that's how the game starts, is you have to get this heater going so that everyone doesn't starve and freeze to death. And then you have to start building, right? So you have to build a mess hall, and you have to build shelter for the people, and you have to build a hospital, and you have to build, mining stuff and wood, what have you. And then, so that's fine. You start doing that. And you have to build in a circular radius around the heater, right? Like, you can't just build randomly. There's a special grid that you have to build around. And the farther away from the heat source, obviously, the worse it is. It takes, these people are much more uncomfortable. So you're getting coal for the furnace. That's obviously priority one. And, you have to send workers out. And then almost right off the bat, you start getting hard choices. So an alert will pop up and it'll say, well, it looks like some workers are getting hurt. What would you like to do? Would you like to put them in the hospital where they might not recover, but they'll still consume food? Or would you like to amputate
Send
them back out into the workforce? And I'm like, amputate.
Amputate, yes.
And I send them back. So there are two scales that are constantly, that you have to keep an eye on. One is hope, and the other one is morale, right? So if you let people linger in the hospital, well, that's that people feel good, but obviously they're using resources, which isn't good for you. But if you amputate their limbs and send them back to work, morale might drop. Then I get another one and I notice that, I'm sending all my adult workers out, but the kids aren't pulling their weight.
Kids are not doing
anything. They're just consuming my food, which is super scarce. And they're not doing anything, so there's my choice. Do you let the kids be kids and maybe eventually build a school they can go to? Or do you send them to work?
I sent
them to work.
Oh, no. Screw those kids.
I sent them in the most safe thing I could do, not in the mines. I sent them in the food house where they would serve food to people. So they might get a burn or something like that, but they're not in the mines working. But that's the kind of weird choices, do you build a cemetery to give people hope or just dump the dead bodies into a big old pit?
Oh, God.
So then eventually they want you to build this hot air balloon beacon to go out and look for more people, right? And I thought, oh, that's fantastic. That's a great idea. So I go out and I find these people. I rescue them and I bring them back. I didn't anticipate that I had to build more houses and get more food for these more mouths.
Oh.
All of a sudden, everyone's starving. Because the hunters don't hunt during the day. They go out at night. So during the day, I had no food.
Oh, no.
And at night, they're out traipsing around, looking for the traps with the food. And it was bad. It was super, super bad. People started dying left and right. I had no food. It was horrible. And that was the overall thing I got from this game. I'm sure it's because I wasn't playing it right, but I never felt like I was getting better. I never felt like I was doing good. It was always one step ahead of a massive catastrophe that was going to kill everyone.
That would give me so much anxiety. I'd be like, I'm done with this game. I can't deal with this.
So then I switched over to State of Decay 2, which is base building in a zombie game. And I love that because my people get stronger and my base gets stronger and we get better weapons and we get better health and we get better vehicles to drive around and smash zombies with. So, yeah.
Just so fun, smashing zombies with your cardboard.
It's so good. So, yeah, I still play State of Decay 2 because I love it to pieces, and I don't have the heart for Frostpunk, I'm sorry to say. It's just
is that the one you were playing that you, if you die, you lose everything?
No, that's Escape from Tarkov.
Oh, it's a different one.
That one's the one that gives me total anxiety. I could never play this game.
So Escape from Tarkov is a hardcore shooter game.
Oh, it's a shooter game.
Right, like Arma 3.
Isn't that
right?
What happens at Rust 2? You die, you lose everything.
Maybe. I never played Rust.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure unless they changed it. But when you die, it's like, oh man, you're naked. You're naked again.
Your stuff just drops there, and if you don't get back to it, you lose it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, that's not.
But you would. You, yeah. All right.
I have to psych myself up to play this game because this game gives me anxiety. Because I am by nature a hoarder. I store and keep everything, and it makes me anxious when I don't have enough of something. And this whole game basis is your character. You have two characters. You have your main character and you have a scavenger. The scavenger can go into a map and loot everything. If he gets out, you get to keep what he picked up and use it for your main character. When you send your main character in, if he dies, literally everything he is carrying is lost.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. That's your helmet. That's your armor. That's your tactical vest. That's your pistol. That's your backpack. That's everything that you picked up. And the ammo. And wow, that gets super expensive to replace all that. And these people will kill you without blinking. It's you know... So you have to have the sound cranked up super high so you can hear people. But also, obviously, anything you loot through makes noise.
Mm.
And to search a body that you find, you have to sit there and search them. It can take 10, 20, 30 seconds of you hovering over a body.
You're going to say minutes. I'm like, really?
Right?
You're like, oh my God.
That game just doesn't sound fun at
it's
all.
It's an open target. If I had other people to play with, I'm sure it would be... better. More fun.
Yeah.
And I like watching streamers play it because to them it's no big deal when they die. But to me, it's a massive deal.
Yeah.
And you can get insurance. Like, you can insure if you have a very expensive gun, which would just make me even more anxious. But if you have insurance on a gun and you go into the game and you get killed, if someone else picks up that gun and gets out, sorry,
the insurance doesn't work. Oh,
so not.
And what's the purpose of insurance? I mean, it seems.
Yeah, that seems silly.
It's the survival of the.
So that's a hard pass for me on that game. Well, let's push this show forward. We'll talk about Two Point Hospital in the next episode.
Okay.
Kim, you're back to playing Pokemon Go. I know they're like everybody keeps on saying, "Hey, here's my number." I'm like, I'm not really playing that anymore. So my son is.
The only thing fun about Pokemon Go is the. They have these, what are they called, the the quests. Mm-hmm. And you have field quests, and then you have, what are the other quests called?
They're like discovery or missions. The mythic missions, yeah.
Mythic quests, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for those, you get like a special Pokemon that's,
yes.
You know, super rare that you could only get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get one of these first to get them.
Right.
And so it's really cool to do that. As soon as those events are over, then I'm kind of like, nah, I don't care about it anymore. I went through it and I was all excited to get my Mew and I got my Mew. And then I was like, huh, what am I working towards?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like if I don't have a goal, that I don't really care at all.
Yeah.
So now we have a new mythic quest, and I'm like, and I'm almost done. I have 20 Pokemon left to find, and I will have the new one. And then I'm like, okay, well, as soon as I do that, I'm gonna not be interested in it anymore. But it is kind of cool because I have friends from all over the world now.
Yes.
So I get presents from Japan, from China, from Taiwan, from Switzerland, from the Netherlands,
England,
Australia.
Yep.
Plus, you know, friends around here. So that's fun. But
so,
and collecting like rare ones and special ones, that's still fun. But yeah, without the mythic quest,
so there's a lady in my son's school. I'm friends with her on Facebook because we're both involved in the PTA. Her son's really into Pokemon Go, and she is a crocheter. And they have Pokemon days where she makes real Pokemon crocheted characters, and she plants them all around for the kids to find. It is so cute and adorable.
That is adorable.
She is so talented with crocheting too.
Wow.
So
I feel stupid. I'm a 50-year-old woman. Stop. Pokemon. I want to find some of those Pokemon.
Exactly. I want one.
All right, let's move forward. We got a couple things. So if you have PlayStation Plus membership, September, you can download Destiny 2 and a remastered version of God of War 3 for free. I loved God of War 3. We talked about that game a lot on the show. Destiny 2... I didn't really get that. It was the same. It was like everyone was like, oh, it's so different. I'm like, no, it's not. It's the same damn game. The same damn load times and everything. So I'm sure there were nuances to it, but it felt like just more of Destiny 1.
I wasn't gonna buy it.
To be fair, that's just the base game. If you want the latest expansion, you still have to pay for that.
Okay. All right.
I don't care about
that. And one of our favorite games, South Park, The Fractured Butthole, has a new DLC called Bring the Church. Bring the Church.
Now, Kim has actually played this. I have not played this. Kim has played this.
Yeah, I played it. And it's kind of boring.
There's it's not Canada.
About it.
It's not the Canadian. Yeah.
It is the camp one, yes.
The camp one.
The camp one. No, this is because there's one that you can go up to Canada.
Oh no!
No, that's
this
not
is the one where they're at a camp like a Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Off of that.
Gotcha.
And it's really there's nothing special about it at all. You know, like Casa Bonita, that was fun.
It was cute.
It was fun. It made me happy playing it. The camp one, I'm like. Yeah. So I'm
what
about
do they call, what do they call the girl? What do they call the girl? The new character? She's like a trope from a horror movie. Like
yeah, so it's
a clever girl or the one who survives or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was
well. Funny. There you go. Well, maybe I'll.
Yeah, you were always new kid. Remember in the you were always.
Oh,
new kid.
Gotcha. Yeah.
it's really that you know girl who survives at the end of every one Final Girl. Her name's
Final Girl.
And Final Girl is actually pretty cool. I like her abilities, but the fights are pretty hard. And I'm like, the fights get too hard too soon. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I was just like, yeah, I'll come back to it one of these days.
Yeah. With DLC, I don't like. Other than Borderlands, I was like, you know, I just want to wait till it all comes out and then I can just play it. Like with Fallout, I do not like the doling out of the... And that's why I think maybe subconsciously I wait so long to play the game because I want all the DLC to be out while I'm actually playing the game. So we have a ton of email. I'm not going to be able to get through it all, but we have one from Emil. This is from back in June. So Emil, I'm sorry. Hi, ladies. My oldest asked me the other day what game I was playing after he and his siblings had gone to bed. I told him it was ESO. Then I told him what kind of a game it was. And then he asked me if I knew of any games like that for kids his age. I couldn't think of any. So I'm asking you, do you know of any suitable RPGs for a 10-year-old? He needs to be able to create his own cool character. And then he said it should be set in a fantasy world and playable on a PS4. So one that comes to mind, and I mentioned it earlier, I picked it up. I think I got it on sale for like $7 from the Toys R Us sale, but it's called Portal Knights. And it's, you have a whole bunch of different characters. You have a warrior, you have a ranger. So you have all these characters. I'm not sure. I think maybe you can change their outfits. But you could play with him on this game. So side by side, you can have its, co-op. And it's kind of has some Minecraft in it where you're building stuff and you're adventuring and doing stuff like that. But my son loved Portal Knights. So he's having a lot of fun with that. But what about, do you guys have any thoughts for Emil?
I mean, the only games I'm thinking of are PC, not
PS4. Mm-hmm. What were PS4. You thinking?
Well, I was thinking Cat's Quest. That was one.
Oh yeah, that is.
I love that Cat's Quest game.
Yeah, but Cat, well, it might. Yeah, you know,
it's not really.
It's not. No,
I guess it's an RPG, but
yeah,
and that's what I'm thinking. I know lots of kids type games, but no RPG kind of games like that.
Yeah,
you know, because all of them that I think of are not appropriate for kids.
Well, and even I mean, I'm just trying to think of some of. Is Gauntlet, is that an RPG? Is that, I'm trying to think, are Dragons, well, Dragon Age is probably not appropriate.
No, no.
Maybe the early.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. No, yeah.
Maybe.
It kind of is, but not really.
I mean, you know, I guess. What my nephew plays is Roblox.
What?
Of course,
oh, yeah.
On the computer.
Yeah.
Roblox. So I am positive that they will have an RPG there.
Yeah.
Will the graphics be good? No.
No, it's all blocky.
The graphics
like
are
Minecraft.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
But that's not what the kids are there for.
Yeah.
The kids are just there for this free-form sandbox feel where they can, you know, pretty much recreate all these, you know, AAA games for free.
Yes. And that's what Mateo's doing with Minecraft. So, like, there's a Fallout skin. Mommy, Fallout! Like, and it plays the music. It's really actually kind of cool. They have, like, a Mario skin for it. I'm just trying to think if there's... I'll think about it more, Emil, and...
What about, like, the Pokemon games? Are they on... They're not on PS4, though.
No,
right?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Those are good. What is that one? Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon. Oh, yeah.
I think Harvest Moon is good for kids.
Yeah, I've never
played it.
I've never played it. I've heard great things about it, but I've never played it.
Nintendo still. I think all of those are like Nintendo games.
Yeah.
So PS4, I don't really know of any on PS4.
Like I said, I'll go through my, yeah, I'll think about it more. Let me think about it more. Yeah, put me on a spot, and I didn't prepare.
Okay, sorry,
I didn't prepare. I was not prepared. Our friend Eddie, the gamer ghoul, says, hey, it's your old pal Eddie back again. He wants to know what we think of Fallout 76. I cannot believe we did not talk about Fallout 76 the last time we talked.
Right.
Or did we? Or maybe
no,
we did not.
No,
okay.
Well, no. The last time we talked about it, we didn't really know what it was going to be.
Yes.
It was kind of an enigma at that point. But I think we know more now of what it's going to be.
Are either of you signed up for the beta? Did you pre-order?
No.
So I pre-ordered.
I'm not going to play the beta.
So I pre-ordered it because I hear, I don't know if this is true or not, that it carries over.
Ooh.
I heard it carries over. So, I signed up for the beta. I have not gotten anything on the beta, but I did sign up for it.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm looking forward to it because I felt like at the end with the Vault DLC expansion, I'm like, I'm building my own vault. I feel like this is a primer for something bigger.
Sure.
And this is what I think this is what
and
that.
I got pretty good at building stuff.
I did too.
I really did. It was fun.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can rock this. And, you know, you put all the lights out and I could put signs out and I have like Molly's Tavern and things like that on the, I made some pretty cool buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty impressed with myself.
I did too. And I was always just bummed that nobody besides me and a passerby in my house could see what I built. So this is kind of neat. I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on, 76.
Yes.
We also have an email from our friend Free Rangers, Jason. He says, hi, ladies. I love the most recent. Well, it's not so most recent anymore, Jason.
Well, it is our most recent.
The most recent one about Detroit Become Human. It was fun to listen to your playthroughs and how they were very different from my playthroughs. That's what I was hoping that we would, you know, get. Because honestly, I never went back to the game. I was like, I played through once and I like loved my ending. I'm like, okay, we're good. He said, Detroit is an amazing game. Certainly one of my favorites of the year. I would like to see Telltale or Don't Nod, makers of Life is Strange, take some cues from Detroit and make a story-based game where your choices really do matter and can drastically change the outcome of the story. I would love to see that too, Jason, especially for Telltale. Like, come on. Let's put some of that into The Wolf Among Us 2. and see what happens there.
Exactly, right?
I don't think they will, honestly, just because of how time intensive it
is. Yeah, they like to crank those games out.
I mean, if you listen to the main actor from Detroit Become Human, Brian Deckard, that was a 3-year story build.
Really?
Wow. And when you look at how complex those choice charts are,
yeah,
you know, the charts that appear after each chapter, and then there's multiple chapters on top of that, and every choice has to build off of that.
Yeah.
That was a major, major undertaking for them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Telltale has, their time schedule is too tight for them to do that. They took over so many franchises. You know, they have the Game of Thrones one, and they have the
Borderlands.
Fables. Right. And they have Borderlands and obviously Walking Dead. So I think that's just not in their, I guess it's not in their schedule.
I agree, but I think they could
I'd love to see it.
A better job.
Mm-hmm. You know, I absolutely agree.
They can really give us a better job.
Two endings, maybe. You don't have to give us 43. Because, we'll just settle with two different endings.
Yeah, and now when I play Telltale, I'm not as invested because I know no matter what I choose, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It honestly doesn't matter. They're just going to retcon whatever choice I made, and they're going to blow right past it. And they're going to say, well, okay, you still made it to this point anyway. You still made it to this point anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you chose. And that's so disappointing. I mean, the stories are still great. And I still love the artwork and, you know, the voice acting. But that lack of choice really bothers me now.
Well, and in the beginning when we thought that it actually mattered, it was a lot of fun. Because you're like, ooh. But then when we kind of guessed it more and you're like, it really doesn't matter. Then it wasn't as fun. So I kind of lost interest in those. And I haven't even followed them because I'm like, well, I don't really care that much. So
remember at the end of Wolf Among Us when we were talking about, did you save that tree or did you burn the tree? Remember at the end, it was like, we were all like, oh, what'd you do? It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It honestly didn't matter what you did.
Well, and I think Detroit kind of really showed us like what a game like that could be and should be.
And should be.
And now we're just like, we're a little bitter. We're a little bitter. all right. One final email and we're going to wrap this show up. This is from Adam Kuha. I'm sorry. I probably just butchered your name. So sorry, Adam. Hey, ladies. He said, missing my ladies. Hey, ladies. I hope all is well. Looking forward to your next episode. Any chance any of you have played Subnautica? You're not listening to the show, Adam. Stephanie talked about it. He said, it's a relatively chill underwater collection building survival game. It's got really gorgeous scenes with tropical fish and corals. I've really been enjoying it. Hope to get my elite lady fix soon. So yes, Stephanie, did you finish it?
Oh no, I didn't finish it.
Okay,
that's a very long game.
That's what I thought. I wasn't really sure if it was like,
okay, but to be honest, I don't actually remember Stephanie talking about it either. And I was probably sitting here when she was talking about it. So
I didn't break on that one. I even played a clip of the creepy noises.
Yes.
It's underwater, but those noises will freak you out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I remember that. And then you hear,
well, I remember playing that clip and going, was that it? I guess I got to be there.
When you imagine it's all dark and quiet, and fish are just randomly swimming by you, and then you hear that thing, it's like, you know, okay, it's time for me to leave now.
Yeah. Gotta go.
I should be beating feet before this thing kills me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for the emails, and thank you for listening. Stephanie is going to tell you how you can email us as well. And I promise we're going to get back on track and do this work. I got my
sticking with us.
Thank you.
Everything on my whole podcasting rig ended up getting reset to factory settings, basically, and so it was. So we've had some technical problems too, but we've worked them out. So Stephanie, tell our listeners how they can reach out to us if they want to send us an email or contact us.
Absolutely. So you can send an email to ladiesofleet@gmail.com, or you can head over to the website, ladiesofleet.com, and there's a cool little flyout tab on the side where you can actually record a voicemail greeting if you like. We love those too. You can reach all of us on Twitter. There is the Ladies of Leet Twitter account. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is just Kimianne with two M's and two N's. And myself is XIA, XIAN1.
Well, there you go. All righty. So thank you so much, Kim, Stephanie. I love talking to you. I'm like, we should do a podcast.
We should
do this more often.
We should go game together.
Yes. Yes. We definitely need to do some gaming together. I'll get back into our AIE guild. So so if you are playing WoW and you don't have a guild, the AIE guild is what we're part of. They're still taking members, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Over at is it AIEguild.org, if I remember correctly?
Dash, yes. AIE-guild.
Oh, AIE-guild.org.
.org.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's
how you can... And we're on the Earthen Ring.
Earthen Ring. Yep. So there you go.
Oh, they let me back in, so I'm thinking they're going to
then they'll let anybody in.
Yeah,
we just have a little channel, AIE-LFO, and you just join that, and they'll add your ring back.
Hey, guys. Can I join you?
Hello.
Hello. All right. So thanks again. And hopefully we'll talk again next week. I don't think any of us are out of town. So I think we're going to try. We say weekly, but it's always been every other week. So, but
yeah,
we try. So we thanks. Try. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.
Bye, bye. Everyone.
Love.